We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not.
What I could add to that. I want to welcome everyone here today and extend a thank you on behalf of family and of the church. In a third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon tells us that there's appointed time for every event under heaven. He writes that this includes a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And we're gathered here today to do both. We're here to mourn our loss and to celebrate the life of Deborah Lewis. Now, we do not mourn as those who have no hope, however. Philippians 3, verses 20 through 21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We mourn because Deb is no longer with us, but rejoice that for the Christian, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 1 John 5:13 tells us, I've written these things to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And we rejoice in the knowledge that Deb is with the Lord, that we have this assurance." Read the obituary. Deborah K. Lewis, age 57, of Chaffee, passed away Wednesday, April 5th, 2017, at her family home. She was born on November 9, 1959, in St. Louis, Missouri, to Charles and Virginia Warren Fulbright. She married Pastor Robert D. Lewis on March 28, 1981, and he survives of the home. Deborah was a retired receptionist for Dr. Stan Williams, DDS, in Cape Girardeau. She was a member of the General Baptist Church in Chaffee, where she served in many capacities, and that's a bit of an understatement. Survivors include her husband, Robert, three daughters, Amanda, Don Hutchinson of Chaffee, Jessica Lewis of Scott City, Samantha Jeff Beck of Jackson, a brother, Randy Fulbright of DeSoto, Missouri, three sisters, Sharon Fulbright of Festus, Missouri, Denise Lewis of Imperial, Missouri, Amy Fulbright of Imperial, and 11 grandchildren whom she cherished. She was preceded in death by her mother, Virginia Warren Fulbright. If you would, bow your heads to pray. Father, the death of Deb has filled our eyes with tears and our heart with sorrow. Sometimes we're distressed by the mysteries of your providence. We want to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." But at times we find this so difficult to do. Forgive and help us, Father, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, to accept your ways as always best. Apply to our wounded hearts the healing touch of your precious promises, and let us soon experience the power of your Holy Spirit. Teach us not to mourn as those who have no hope. Wipe the tears from our eyes that we may be able to see through the mist, beyond death, beyond the grave, to the resurrection and life assured by the glorious victory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, over death and the grave. May the passing of Deb remind us that we too are but a pilgrim and a stranger on earth. Father, grant us to love less and less the things that are material and love more and more the things that are spiritual and eternal. Teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts to the wisdom taught by Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to him but by you, or come to you by him. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Long before these rainy days, it's never really ever crossed my mind.
Here in a moment, we're going to look Luke chapter 23. And the message title would be The Promise of Jesus. Before I do that, I want to share some thoughts about Deb, my recollections. And this is not anything I wrote down because I wanted it to come from the heart. One of the things that really stands out to me about Deb, and I got to be honest, I really feel cheated because a lot of you really got to know her better than I did. I feel like I was just beginning to. And as you know, Deb was a very, very special person. You're all nodding. We know that's true. One night we had Brother Bob and Deb over at my house, and I was sitting there watching Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, some of you may not know what that is, but I'll tell you, it has a talking raccoon, and it has a sentient plant who says his entire vocabulary is the words, "I am Groot," exclusively in that order. Okay. So you may think I'm a little weird for liking something like that. And my wife's telling me, "Well, you got to turn that nonsense off. You know, the pastor's coming over." I didn't do it. So when they come to the door and Ruthann gets it, she looks and it registers the TV's on. So I'm getting the mean mug from my wife, right? None of you guys that ever happens, I'm sure. And Deb says, "Guardians of the Galaxy. I love Guardians of the Galaxy." And then one night after church on Wednesday night, you know, Brother Bob says she was filling up to a quick visit. I went over there and she was watching Guardians of the Galaxy. Deb had a daffy sense of humor. One of the things I've heard told for truth, I guess Jack could verify this, was she was wanting a spring where she could set up in the middle of the service. So that may startle me if that does happen. So you may see how high I can jump, right? But Deb had a sense of humor, and that was one of the things that really made her beautiful. One of the other things that really stood up was something that Paige said. Paige said, Deb always, well, she said grandma, not Deb, always put others before herself. And I think that characterizes her heart. She did that. She put others before herself. And Brother Bob said she was loved because she loved you. How can you not love someone like that? Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." She lived that. She wasn't perfect. I've been told she had a bit of a temper. My kids would say the same about me. I don't know that that's true. I'll just take their words for it. But her life was characterized by love. Okay. So on to Luke 23. Deb asked me quite a while back to do this for her and try to get out of it. And she wouldn't let me. So the type of message I'm bringing will make more sense, but this is what she wanted. So Luke 23, we're going to start in verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" And then John 3:16, verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In John 3, verse 36, whoever believes on the Son has eternal life, present tense, has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. If you watch any kind of media, television, the internet, magazines, you're going to see kind of this growing interest in something called cryogenics, which is essentially freezing the body so that when a cure for disease is found, you can be thawed out and cured, right? You'll see a whole lot of articles hoping for this new drug or new pill or some sort of new therapy that will slow down or even reverse aging, and that life can then be extended indefinitely. But the reality is we are all going to die sooner or later. I remember a bumper sticker from the 1980s that said it all. It said, eat healthy, exercise daily, and die anyway. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. Please still do. But the scriptures tell us the truth, that man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Even Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, and we read about that in John 11, an ancient Christian tradition tells us that Lazarus actually went on and became a pastor in Cyprus. Lazarus eventually died and went to be with the Lord. And if you doubt thinking of Lazarus and the necessity of grieving, remember that Jesus wept for his friend. And the questions that we need to ask are, well, where will our spirit spend eternity? With whom will our spirit spend eternity with? How do we make those arrangements? We see in Scripture that as Jesus was in his last hours before death on the cross for the sins of humanity, he was crucified between two criminals. The story of the criminal who cried out to Jesus is, according to author Russell Jones, one of the most instructive incidents in the gospel. It is a story of faith and hope, and also a glimpse of the unchangeable promise of the Lord on which we stand in the midst of our sorrow. As the repentant criminal turned to Jesus, we see a man who is willing to be saved. He recognized the deity. He recognized the lordship of Jesus, and in faith asked to be remembered when thou comest in thy kingdom. We see faith. Note, he said when, not if. And Jesus' reply brought him grace, and it brings to us today instruction, confidence, and promise. The reply, today, you will be with me in paradise. Death is the separation of the two basic elements of a person, the material part from the immaterial part, the separation of the spirit from this physical body, this earth suit. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Death in the Bible does not mean extinction or annihilation, but it means separation. And the Bible mentions a second death as well. In Revelations 21, 18 describes this in detail. We usually refer this to hell, which is eternal separation from God. Now, physical death does not end our existence. It changes the nature of that existence. Now, the promise of Jesus to the dying criminal demonstrates the delight of heaven. The Bible tells us a good deal about heaven, and that's a message to itself. But for us today, it's enough to know that the Bible assures us that this is a real place. It's very real. Now, what does Jesus' promise mean for us today? It means we will exchange time for eternity. Time, this physical dimension that we live in, we will exchange it for eternity. we will realize the promise of a new home, our true home. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 10 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." We will be in the presence of Jesus. Notice Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus said, "With me, with me." While heaven is a place, it's important to remember that salvation and heaven are first and foremost a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We mourn the loss of Deb, and the Bible tells us that this is appropriate. This is healing for us to do. As many of you know, I'm a counselor. And daily I sit with people in the alarm moments of their lives and their deepest hurts. We counselors often use an acronym called TEAR, T-E-A-R, to educate about what we call the task of grieving. That's different than the stages of grieving you're probably all familiar with. What we call the first task of grieving, the T, is we have to come to accept the reality of the loss. And that takes a while to do. But to move on, to heal, we have to accept that reality. Second, the E, is we have to experience the pain of the loss. Well, that's hard. But our pain matters to God. Remember, Jesus wept for His friend. Our hurt, our pain matters to God. Third, the A. We have to begin to adjust to the new environment without the person. And fourth, the R. We have to reinvest in this new reality. And I can assure you that is what Deb wanted. And we turn to God to help us with our grief. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." And He's always there for us to turn to Him. Now we rejoice that Deb is present with the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Deb died, but she did not perish. John 11, 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And Jesus said, "Whoever has the Son has life." Jesus is our life. We rejoice in that assurance that Deb is present with the Lord in paradise. The earth suit that she left behind, it's not Deb any longer. She is present with the Lord. And we know that by the authority of His Word. Now, as I said, Deb asked me to do this for her a while back. When she was first diagnosed, she shared this with me, Brother Bob shared this with me, that she said that the Lord had revealed to her that this illness would take her life. Now, I prayed for a miracle till the very end, and I think that's appropriate to do so. But she said the Lord had revealed that to her, and she asked me to do this. And Brother Bob can tell you she wouldn't let me off the hook. I believe there would be people that could honor her better, and it's important to me that she be honored. She's that special. That we have that assurance that Deb is with the Lord. And I never want to assume that simply because we may have grew up in church or because we attend church, that we know the Lord or that we know the gospel. Biblical Christianity is not religion. It is relationship. Christianity is being rightly related to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is relationship. And I want to honor Deb in her request. And she would not have anyone walk out of here without hearing the gospel message. How do we get to heaven? How do we get to know that we will rejoin Deb one day? First, we admit. We admit that we are sinners who need a Savior. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Salvation's a gift. Second, we abandon. We abandon our self-effort. We realize that we cannot be made right with God through religion, through our good works, through our self-righteous effort. The Bible says, "By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Third, we accept. We accept Christ's payment of sins as required of the Father. And we've looked at that in John 3:16. Fourth, we acknowledge. We say yes to Jesus. We acknowledge Him. And we receive Him not only as Savior, but as Lord. When we say yes to Jesus, we submit fully to the lordship of His life. We give Him the right to help Himself to our lives anytime He chooses. Two criminals were being executed along with Jesus. One knew who to reach for. The other didn't. One found the hand of Jesus in paradise. One found eternal separation from the Savior forever. And Deb would have us, if we have not already done so, to make the wise decision of the repentant thief and reach out for the saving hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our sorrow and grief at death, because death is an enemy, we are comforted by the promise of Jesus. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." God's word exhorts us in Hebrews 4, verse 7. "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Let's go ahead. Down. In the book, The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus by Frank Baum, the main character, Santa Claus, he says that the mission each one of us has is to leave this world a little better than we found it. The world is a little better for Deb having been in it. My world has been blessed for Deb having been in it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, sometimes we don't know what to say, and we just turn to you. That's the case today. We turn to you who are our strength during this time of death. You are the giver of life. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the source of eternal life, you understand death. Father, we trust you today. Father, you know our grief at the loss of Deb. Give us peace and comfort. Dry our tears. Soothe our pain. We know of the cross. We know the death of your Son, Jesus. We know also of the empty tomb and how thankful we are that Jesus rose on the third day, never to die again. We cling to his promise, because I live, you shall live also. Thank you, dear Father, for his victory over death and for the grace and love that share that victory with us. Comfort us in our loss. Deepen our trust in Jesus. Strengthen our resolve to live in him, dear Lord. I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big and my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking.